Well, it is truly lovely to be back here with you all. I always enjoy coming back and worshiping with you all here. So thank you for the great welcome. It's so lovely to see all of you here on this Super Bowl Sunday. You've made it here through all the traffic and all the craziness that's going on in our city. So it's nice to be with you here this morning. Let us open our hearts to hear God's word to us this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. You can find it on pages 17 and 18 in your pew Bible. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God. So, I imagine many of you are in the same seat as me, but I love San Francisco. I just really love San Francisco. I love the history of the place, and I also love the newness of the place. We've got all these things that Armistead Maupin writes about in his Tales of the City. We've got the Barbary Coast that leads us through kind of the sullied history of the place. We've got the Victorians that shine beautifully. This is a lovely place with all this rich history. And yet it's also always being renewed. It's got all this new stuff that's coming all the time. It's inviting people in and welcoming them in. Sometimes uncomfortably, but it's there, and it's part of our fabric of who we are. I've been a part of this city for 22 years. I can't even believe I've been here that long, but I've been here for 22 years, and I love it. Every now and then I'll think of something, and I'll be like, it feels like yesterday, and I'm like, oh no, that was early 90s. That's been a while. Yeah, and then there's just new things to do all the time. Yesterday I was wandering around the city, and I got a chance to explore new things. Things that have been here and other people have done before, but that were new to me. And I'm like, there's just always something new to do. There's just a lot going on here. And so I just love this city. I'm an evangelist for the city of San Francisco. I tell people that all the time. But one of my very favorite things about the city of San Francisco is the way that the hills and the water and the city and the parks and all of that kind of flow together. It's so interesting to me. You can come around any corner and wow, you're surprised by the view that you get. And so I love just exploring the city, just walking around and seeing what I'm going to see. The murals that come up, the different shops that are creating a cityscape. All of that is very interesting to me. Some of my favorite places to go here in the city are like up on hills. I live near Buena Vista Park. That gives some really great views going north. I go even further up to Twin Peaks that you get to see all the way around. Sometimes I wander out over to the Marin Headlands where I'm joined by tons of people because that's got one of those classic views of the city. Or maybe even I wander farther and go over to Mount Tam and go up high there and get some fabulous views of the ocean and the city. I like to go up. I like to go up on these mountaintops because they give us this view, this kind of eagle-eye view. They kind of give us the larger picture. And I really loved when I'm standing up there to go, can I see where I live? Can I see those things that I recognize? And I'm always happy when I find something that gets me close enough to say yes. Yeah, there's that thing that's close. But it's these mountaintop sights that get us to kind of get out of the regular, to give us that overhead view. Kind of like I was thinking also of the beginning of Fred Rogers, where we would see the eagle eye view of the little town where the train was running through it as he was bringing us into his world and helping to welcome us there. It helps to remind us that we are part of something more. Gets us out of our day-to-day and gets us up above it and looking down. The hustle and the bustle of everything that's going on in our city kind of falls away when you're in one of these places. Maybe it's even a little bit more hushed because the traffic noise doesn't reach us there. It kind of breaks us out of our routine. And for me, it takes my breath away often. These are characteristics that are true of many mountaintop experiences. And this is why people throughout the ages have sought them, have gone to mountains to get away from and to reconnect with God. Mountains throughout the history have been seen as what we have been calling thin places, places where the divine and the human can meet. Places where God can really be present to us in ways that maybe God doesn't feel quite so present sometimes in the regular goings-on of our daily life. We have two examples this morning in our texts of people who go to mountaintops for just those reasons. They are going up to be closer to the divine, to be open to hearing from God, and to experiencing what God has for them to experience. They go up there so that they can get the larger view, so that they can see how they fit within the larger picture. They go up there to get away from the hustle and bustle of their daily living. Moses from leading the people and Jesus from healing and having everyone coming to them. They go up the mountain to interrupt their daily routine so that they can be fully open to how God is calling to them and how God would have them to act. I don't know if you've heard the expression or if you've used it yourself to have a mountaintop experience. This is a phrase that is often used and people say of something that they wish to hold on to, something that's brought them deep joy or deep gladness or has brought about some important change in their life. It's a phrase that is used to mark this moment that people want to remember and to hold on to as they go forward. I don't know if you've had such experiences, but I can think of a few. One when I was a kid, when I was at a camp, and it was literally on a mountain, so it helped. But it was a camp, a religious camp, where I got to be with people my age and where we were studying scriptures, singing songs, having fun, and I just didn't want that to end. I felt so connected to God through that experience that I just didn't want it to end. I wanted to remember it and to cherish it and to hold on to it. I had a similar experience this past summer when I had the chance to go on a pilgrimage in France. And I was with people that I didn't know, but we had this time together to really explore the architecture there, the ways that the faithful people throughout history have used the churches there as sacred spaces. And it was really a great time for me to connect with God in a different way. And I didn't want it to end. I just wanted to hold on to it. I felt very transformed by my time there. Maybe you have similar times when you have had these experiences where it was a thin place where you felt very close to God and you knew God's presence was with you and you felt transformed by it. Often, because these times are so joyful for us, we want them, we ask for them. But as you can see my title, I say, be careful of those mountaintops. Be careful of what you're asking for. Because if you're really present to that moment, you're gonna be transformed by it. Now that can be a good thing, but it also means change. The people that we have as our examples this morning were definitely changed by it. It was visible on them. They both were shining. Their clothes shone, their faces shone, their whole being exuberated the presence of God with them. And that was just an outward sign of the inward change that was happening. Our scriptures don't tell us about that, but we know that it's true that both were not left unchanged by this experience. And, you know, you might just hear voices, which usually is a bad thing, but in this case, Moses was given instruction for how to live, not just for him, but for the people that he was leading. And Jesus was told yet again, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." These experiences, we go into hoping for such things. We go in hoping that we're going to get some kind of insight into how we should live as people. And we go into them hoping to be renewed and refreshed and reclaimed by God and reminded that we are God's beloved, in whom God is well pleased. And so we go into these ready for that. And if we're truly open to it, we will walk away with those reassurances and with those ideas about how to live our lives more in line with what God has in mind for us. But that will transform us. That will disrupt our status quo, at least a little, I would hope, because that is what we're seeking. But change is never easy, so we have to be careful what we're asking for. And we see that it is kind of a daunting experience because we see two different expressions of this in the humans who are gathered around in these different scenarios with Moses and Jesus. The disciples fall down flat in fear and trembling. They are just overwhelmed by what's going on, by the dazzling nature of it, and they need to be assured by Jesus before they're able to kind of gather themselves and go, "Oh, okay, it's all right. Things will be okay." God appears as a cloud. And while that is comforting for the people that are in it, it's disconcerting for the people down below. For the people in Moses' time, they got worried. The stories that come later are that they go and build a golden calf because they are just sure that Moses has been eaten up by this cloud. It's not a good thing to the people who aren't in it. They're confused by it. Maybe even the people who are in it are a little bit confused by it. But they're there, so they're experiencing it, so it's not quite as terrifying for them. God is also seen as a devouring fire, also a terrifying concept. We don't really want to be eaten up by fire. But God is cleansing us and getting rid of those things that are not helpful to us in our lives. And so that is how this fire can be useful. So we've got the fear and trembling. That's one way to respond to it. But a very different response is the one that I've been talking about earlier, about how I didn't want these experiences to end. I wanted them to just keep going and going. And we see that in the disciples' second response, where they say, "Let us build dwelling places. Peter, oh, love Peter. He's just such, he has a good heart, but he's always just a little bit off. He's like, let's build you some places to stay, the three of you, you three very important people. Let's just enshrine you here. This is lovely." And Jesus says, "No, no, that's not the point. It's not the point." But Peter just wanted to hold on to this really special moment. So did Moses. Moses ended up staying up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He was probably not supposed to stay that long, but he was having a good time and God let him. So there he was. He didn't want it to end either. But they both, all of them, had to come down. Both Moses and Jesus with their entourages did come back down the mountain. God wants us to have those mountaintop experiences. God wants to reach out to us in those special ways. God wants to transform us by are hearing anew of God's will for our lives and how that might happen, such as the commandments and the great commandment to love God and to love our neighbor. And God wants us to have those moments that really let us bask in the knowledge that God loves us, has claimed us, and is pleased with us. But we can't stay there. We aren't meant to be living only on the mountaintop. We are meant to come down and to share that glory with those with whom we interact on a daily basis. We aren't to keep all of that to ourselves. We're to let it flow through us to those whom we encounter in our daily lives, so that they too can know the transforming power of God's love. God desires to be present to us not only on those mountaintops, but also down below in our daily living, in all that we do, maybe even especially there in that day-to-day encounter. So don't only look for God on the mountaintop. Don't be like Peter thinking, this is where we need to enshrine God. This is where God's supposed to live. Well, God does live there. But God lives everywhere. God is on the loose among us in our day-to-day lives. Are we open to experiencing God there? That is God's call for us today. To have our eyes wide, to have our hearts open, to be ready to meet God where God meets us, whether it's on a mountaintop or whether it's down below, and be ready for the transformation that that encounter is going to bring. May it be so. Amen.